Taxes. It's something people like to talk about, but rarely like to pay. Today, we're going to talk about property taxes and whether Wisconsin can continue to rely so heavily on property taxes to fund local government functions. Hello, and welcome to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report. Today, I'm joined by Rob Henkin, the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Gwen.
Rob, can you start out by telling people what the Wisconsin Policy Forum is and your organization's mission?
Absolutely. So our organization was formed on January 1st, 2018, as a result of the merger between the Madison-based Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance and the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. Now, each of those organizations had been in business for many, many years, Public Policy Forum for about 105 years, and WisTax for about 80 years. Similar missions in terms of being think tanks that analyze local governments and school districts. In the case of the Public Policy Forum in Southeast Wisconsin, in the case of WisTax across the state, WisTax also obviously did a lot of analysis around state government and state budget. Another distinction, Public Policy Forum, not just limited to government finance work, but really broad range of policy matters, ranging from mental health services and social services to justice system services to economic development, education, and local government finance. At any rate, the two organizations formed about 14 months ago. We continue our mission of fiercely nonpartisan, objective public policy analysis that is really designed to encourage better, more informed, more data-driven decision-making in both local governments and school districts and state government.
So today we're going to talk specifically about your most recent report. It's titled Dollars and Cents. Is it time for a new municipal financing framework in Wisconsin? So how do you start these reports? Does someone come to you? Does someone commission you to do the reports? And then once you decide on a theme, where do you start and how do you start gathering the data? How long do they take?
All great questions. So the inception of a report can actually occur through many different forms. First and foremost, we produce the vast majority of our content really emanates from our staff. We have policy committees that consist of members of the Wisconsin Policy Forum who kick around ideas for research. So in many cases, we are out there identifying issues that we think could benefit from our objective and thorough research. There are other times when, indeed, entities ask us to do research projects in partnership with them and essentially, as you said, commission the research. And that is the case with the report in question. We were approached by the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, the Wisconsin Realtors Association, and the Greater Milwaukee Committee. But there's that's not the whole story. The reason we were approached is because we had done a report 2 years ago on the city of Milwaukee's revenue structure. So we were considering anyway whether we should go beyond the city of Milwaukee and look at the broader question of how the state of Wisconsin is financing its municipal government statewide. We got into talks with these three entities, essentially decided on a scope of work. There's never a case where somebody asks us to research something where they already know what they want the conclusion to be, and we're just their agent to do that. The way it works is that we, again, come up with a topic that makes sense mutually. We develop a scope of work. We have some give and take, and then we pursue the research. In terms of the last part of your question, it depends on the project, how long it takes. This was a lengthy one, given that we were really scouring research for all 50 states. So from inception to finish, this one was about 5 or 6 months. And, you know, sometimes we go into a project, we know what the data sources are and that the data we're looking for is going to be out there, and it's just a matter of crunching it. In this case, we were confident there were data sources that were going to be helpful for us to answer our research questions, but we had to go out and find those and secure them.
Great. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the specifics of this report and some of the findings.
This is Andy Phillips from Von Briesen and Roper. Please listen to Hashtag LocalGovMatters for a closer look at local and state issues. Subscribe today.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Rob Henkin, president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. So let's get into the details of this report. The report starts by discussing Wisconsin's taxes and how we got to where we are now, which by your report says it's heavy on property taxes. How did we become a state that is so dependent on property taxes?
Well, Gwen, the story really dates back to 1911 when state leaders decided to enact a state income tax, and in doing so made the decision that it was going to be the state that was going to essentially implement and collect the tax, but that it was essentially going to do so. One of the primary reasons the state was levying an income tax was to collect these dollars to then send back to local governments to pay for local government services. In doing so, the state also made a very deliberate decision that while it was going to be the collector and the levier of income taxes, it was going to not allow local governments, municipalities, and counties to similarly levy such taxes. And so we've really stuck with that approach over time. Over time, we also adopted, of course, a state sales tax. And a similar decision was made to limit the issuance of a sales tax to state government, not give that ability to local governments and county governments. And again, part of the sort of bargain here was that the revenues collected by the state would be shared in some way with local governments so that they could supplement the property tax with state aids and provide the services that they needed to provide. So, you know, on paper, not an inappropriate, illogical approach. I think one of the main points of this report is that over time, for a few key reasons, this hasn't worked out maybe as according to plan. Certainly one key reason is that due to all of the issues and challenges facing state government, the sharing of the revenues that were being collected by the state via the income and sales tax in the form of the shared revenue program has really been stagnant for many, many years, which has increased reliance on the property tax. More recently, we have also seen the imposition of very stringent property tax levy limits that have also had an impact.
What do other states do for revenue for their municipal services? I mean, in Wisconsin, we have property taxes. We have a few other things that they can do at the local level. But what do other states do?
So there's no question that most other states also do rely to some extent on the property tax. If you look nationally, the averages are for the property tax is about 23% of the revenue stream of municipal governments nationwide. Other forms of taxes around 24%. Now that contrasts with Wisconsin, where 42% of the funding for our municipal governments comes from the property tax, and only 1.6% from other types of taxes. Those other types of taxes most commonly are sales taxes. Those can either be general sales taxes or selective sales taxes on certain types of activities, such as purchases from restaurants or for entertainment. Then another primary uses of or primary revenue source, which is not reflected in the numbers I just cited, is fees for service charges and fees. Those can range from water and sewer fees to wheel taxes to other types of fees that are paid as a direct result of service. And those are typically a big part of the revenue mix. They are a big part of Wisconsin's revenue mix, though property tax is by far number one for us. There are many more states where service charges are actually number one.
So you talked a little bit about how shared revenue has gone down. We've got limits on property tax increases, some of those things. One of the things I found interesting in the report is the increased use of debt at the local government level to pay for some of the services and some of their infrastructure needs. The report says, quote, as state and federal aid has lagged and property taxes have been restrained, show signs of fiscal stress have appeared in recent years among the cities and villages for the state. WPF research on municipalities have found rising debt levels, modest declines in street quality, and a great use of local vehicle registration fees or wheel tax. So let's talk a little bit about the local debt. What are they doing? How are they getting this debt approved, and what are they using it for?
So the story on local debt really starts with the property tax levy limits. So the state decided in 2006 that it was going to impose on municipal governments levy limits, saying that from year to year, the total tax levy for operating purposes could not increase more than the rate of net new construction in that community. Now, in the early years of the cap, there was also a floor. So if you're the floor said in a particular year, for example, it's either 3% or whatever your rate of net new construction is. So if your rate of net new construction was only 1.5%, you could still go up to 3. Those floors were eliminated in 2011 so that the operating levy limits were exclusively tied to net new construction. So how does that impact debt? Debt service is not subject to these property tax levy caps. Therefore, there may be cases where municipal governments potentially would have ordinarily used operating funds to pay for new police cars or fire trucks, to pay for new computer equipment, etc. But because of the pressure imposed by the property tax levy limits on their operating levy, they instead elect to borrow and issue debt for those expenditures. Now, that's only a problem insofar as when you're issuing debt, the payment occurs via debt service over time, typically 15 to 20 years, and there's an additional interest payment. So ostensibly, you're asking taxpayers to pay a little bit more. And again, there are certainly circumstances where issuing debt does make sense, and it depends also on the useful life of the thing for which you're issuing debt. But the bottom line is that we, and again, this is another reason that we were eager to conduct this study, we have observed in terms of the crunching of municipal data that we do every year that we've seen, you know, nothing to be overly alarmed about, but we have certainly seen increasing levels of debt being issued by municipal governments. We have been told anecdotally by several local government leaders that indeed they are using debt as a vehicle to pay for things that perhaps they wouldn't if there were not the strict levy limits. And so it's one of these potentially unintended consequences. The levy limits without question have been effective in holding down property tax levy increases. But if one of the results of that is that our municipal governments are issuing more debt, well, that's just something that policymakers should consider as they are looking at those levy limits in the upcoming budget deliberations.
Your report discusses the pros and cons of change, and you're very specific in your report that you are not advocating for one change or another, or that you're recommending things. Just these are some of the options on the table. Given our current split government, how feasible is it that either side will want to undertake a significant change in taxation right now? How do organizations outside the Capitol start that conversation?
Well, it's a great question, and it's unfortunate because whenever we try to have a reasonable, thoughtful conversation about the T word being taxation, it tends to get very ideological and very political very quickly. And so that's something that we are sincerely hoping we can avoid this time around. And there's a few reasons why we think that there's a possibility. Number one, we are beginning to see, as you referenced in your earlier question, strains in the system. We are seeing municipal governments increasingly having trouble financing their core services, public safety and public works, for example, and having to an increasing number of municipal governments having to turn to voters and ask to exceed property tax levy limits. We see fees increasing and greater use of the wheel tax. As we just discussed, we're seeing a modest growth in the level of debt. We are seeing modest deterioration in the condition of local roads. So these hopefully are all factors that could lead elected leaders to say, well, okay, we see an emerging problem. What's the cause of the problem, and is the revenue structure? So is this something we can talk about? A second thing is that right now the economy is doing well. So to the extent that we want to have difficult discussions about not necessarily taxing people more, but changing the mix of taxation. And clearly, there's no silver bullet here. There are pros and cons associated with each form of taxation. But to the extent that you want to have a thoughtful conversation about that topic, it's easier to do so when your economy is better, because in times of recession, none of these revenue sources are going to look particularly attractive at that point in time. Finally, we do now have divided government, and there's potentially going to be more of a need to compromise. The state is strained for resources, and I think one of the points that this report is making is that perhaps there ought to be more local options. Again, what we're seeing across the country, particularly in bigger cities, is that these city governments have their own set of revenue tools that they can use more at their discretion that are linked more to the nature of their local economy, and they can make those choices. And here we just don't do that. City of Milwaukee, for example, is seeing an enormous boom in construction of entertainment and restaurants, and the downtown is undergoing a renaissance, and there are more and more people coming who are not city residents, but coming to the city of Milwaukee using city services, but not being charged for their use of those services. So that's one way, for example, that a sales tax at least can play a small role in terms of spreading that cost burden further than residents and also to more of the users of municipal services.
How long can municipalities and local governments stay the course without any changes right now? You talk about the strains, you talk about some of the issues that they're having. How much longer do you think some of the municipalities or some of the local governments can go continuing where they are right now without, at some point they're going to be blocked with how much more debt they can borrow. At some point they're going to have to start reducing services. Where do you see that breaking point?
You'd have to go through municipality by municipality, but I can make a few broad comments on the question. Number one, my office is located here in Milwaukee. I feel like I can speak most intelligently to greater Milwaukee governments, and we are seeing a greater number of those governments having to go to voters to exceed property tax levy limits. South Milwaukee and Greenfield and Franklin have all made that attempt in recent years, and that's been tied to their inability to fund public safety services, both police and fire/EMS, to the extent that they think their constituents need to have those services funded. So that's certainly signal of an approaching breaking point. Looking statewide, what we have observed is that new construction has not recovered nearly to the point that it was prior to the recession. So at the time that the property tax levy limits were enacted and tied to new construction, it was reasonable to think that the vast majority of municipalities across the state were going to see 2-3% growth in new construction on an annual basis, which, a reasonable person would say is a sufficient level of growth if that's how much your property tax levy is going to be growing from year to year to meet your service needs. Well, what has happened is that even now we're, 8 years into recovery, 8 or 9 years into recovery, we're still seeing the vast majority of municipal governments across the state with new construction levels below 1.5 or 2%, which, again, it depends on the government, but is that enough? If that's how much your property tax levy is allowed to grow, is that enough? What we're seeing, unfortunately, or what we're observing is that we're sort of locking low-growth communities into low growth, because to the extent that they don't have that capacity to increase their levies and to invest more in municipal services like economic development and transportation and parks and recreation, then arguably they're then not seeing that new growth, which is going to give them the ability to have the resources to make that investment. So I think certainly a growing concern is a growing gap between the haves and have-nots in terms of the higher growth and lower growth communities.
All right, well, stay tuned. There's more to come. And when we come back, we're going to touch on some of the reaction to your report.
Hi, this is Adam Page, your Boyden County Administrator. Please listen to #LocalGovMatters for a closer look at local and state issues. Subscribe today.
You're listening to #LocalGovMatters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guest is Rob Henkin, the president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. So one reaction that I've seen to the report is the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. They're one of the groups that collaborates on this podcast, and they worked with you to request this report. In their response to their report, they said, quote, Wisconsin's tax history is one of repeated attempts to lower property taxes, all of which eventually fail for the same reason. We keep trying to address the symptom, high property taxes, while ignoring the obvious cause. The cause is that we expect the property tax to do too much. What do you think about that, Rob?
Well, again, I don't think there's any question that due to a variety of circumstances, some even beyond our control, we have seen this growing reliance on the property tax to the point where nobody's happy that property taxes are so high in the state of Wisconsin. Yet our attempt to address the situation, which is curbing the growth in the property tax, has now come into conflict with the needs of municipal governments to see some inflationary growth in their revenue sources that's going to allow them to continue to provide the services that they need to provide. So, you know, I think an argument can certainly be made that looking to diversify, just as with one's own individual investment portfolio, diversification tends to be a good thing, to not have all your eggs in one basket. I think certainly looking at whether, if we all agree that indeed we think that municipal revenues need to be able to grow with inflation, I think having the conversation about whether having that ability to do so would rest with some new and different forms of taxation as opposed to turning once again to the property tax, which is what we're just doing on a de facto basis, property taxes and fees, which are both linked to residents, that again, maybe we ought to think about this and whether there ought to be an opportunity, particularly for municipalities that have high numbers of commuters and visitors, to have means of revenue generation that reflect the consumption of city services as opposed to just where you live and how valuable your property is.
Another response that I saw was by Mike Theo, the president and CEO of the Wisconsin Realtors Association. And he said, if we're going to ask lawmakers to consider allowing for new local revenue sources in exchange for lower property taxes, it's incumbent upon us to articulate an alternative plan. Are there groups out there right now who are focusing on trying to develop alternative plans? Are they looking at the details and really trying to dig into this issue to go to the legislature and try to work with them about making changes?
Well, Gwen, I think this report is certainly intended to be a conversation starter and to generate that type of both rigorous and objective analysis. My observation is that in the greater Milwaukee area, there has certainly been a lot of discussion about this. We have the two largest governments in greater Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, both are facing very fierce financial challenges that have resulted in both cuts in services, including a reduction in police officers a couple of years ago by the City of Milwaukee, growing infrastructure backlogs. And so for several years, business leaders have been talking about the potential need to do something, in particular for the cultural and entertainment assets that are so important for talent attraction and retention and so forth. So I think there was just a task force that was formed by the Milwaukee County Executive and County Board Chairman that included business leaders that talked not only about county government but municipalities within the county and the need to do something here. You know, part of the conversation has always been not just about whether there should be more local taxation options, but whether the state should begin to provide increases in shared revenue payments that match inflation. I think certainly we have to have some very honest conversations about the expenditure side of the equation as well. Are there opportunities for consolidation of different municipal services at higher levels of government or between groups of municipalities that could increase efficiency and save dollars? So all of this has to be on the table. I think certainly this discussion has been percolating for many years, and there have been several blue ribbon commissions, but I think we are at a point where hopefully this report will launch an even more serious discussion about the way we raise revenue to fund all forms of government here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's the end of today's podcast. I want to thank you, Rob, for coming. For additional information or links to specific documents that we discussed in today's podcast, you can go to www.thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. We have linked to the Dollars and Cents report in our blog posting, so you can find the full report there. I want to thank the community radio stations who collaborate with us, Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, and Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and the Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast, and thanks to Jackie Johnson for doing all of our sound editing. Thanks again, Rob.
Thank you.